Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Brian.
Brian Christopherson.
I gotta take this a tap.
B-Rooney. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was bright.
Brian Christopherson, Husker 24-7, on the Connor Happer Show on 1620 The Zone.
All right, we're joined by our good friend Brian Christopherson of Husker 24-7 on the 42 Degrees The Source Hotline. BC, good morning. How are you, my friend?
Doing well. How are you guys?
Very good. We're poolside in Las Vegas. If Cole Reagans was going to lose on opening day to the Twins, I'd rather do it near a pool than in my basement.
Yeah, we got you, but Royce Lewis, of course, didn't make it through the third inning without an injury. I love Royce Lewis, by the way, but he gets injured a lot, and hopefully he's not on the Byron Buxton train. So we'll see how long that injury is. So I would have rather lost to you guys on opening day, and Royce is sitting healthy himself. But I'm glad you're at the pool. I'm at the parking lot of the Gretna Outlet Mall, so you probably got me beat.
I don't
Six
know.
Six of one, half dozen of the other, BC.
There is a big lake nearby, I heard.
There is.
Maybe an NHL team coming soon as well.
Yeah, do you see any one from the NHL right now scouting out locations for their new arena?
No, I don't see them putting the ice down or anything out here. But I'm looking at a Home Goods and a TJ Maxx. That's what I'm looking at. So you guys are winning. I'm not winning, but congrats on your victory today.
All right, very good. Brian Christopherson of Husker 24/7 is with us. Okay, got to take in a little bit of practice yesterday. Obviously, you know, it's the first practice. Everybody's sending out their observations. whether it's big picture or, you know, just something that caught your eye yesterday, like where does your brain go first on some things that you took in?
Yeah, it's kind of a funny deal. I mean, it's like 25 minutes we're in there, and I'm walking around with my little iPhone shooting video like I'm Francis Ford Coppola for Bronze that gets pieced together. And I actually got called out. One of the gals, I don't blame her. She comes over to me and she's like, "You're not supposed to take pictures." I was like, "I'm actually shooting video, like professional video on this phone." So I almost got taken out of the Hawks Center. But I think my impression, and I know it's spring Kool-Aid time. I will say this. They look better when you go station to station. And you've heard, I think, Matt Rhule say this in a couple interviews. Like, he loves the athleticism and just how his team looks, like, when they're on the field. And when you bounce around, I do think that's true. Like, I feel like, yeah, that's how it's supposed to look coming off the bus. Now, how that translates when we get to the serious stuff and we're keeping score, I don't know. But, like, you go around and you look at the linemen and, you know, you see Ben Hart and how he shaped his body, but then like a Teddy Prochazka, I think, is sort of following suit with that. And then I know Micah Mazzucca got called out, but you see a guy who started a bunch of games for Florida last year and you're still like, yeah, that's how you want it to look. Like Bly Hill is a newcomer at defensive back that's just incredibly long and stuff. So I kind of went around and to each position group and I thought, I like how it appears, you know, and now what can you do with that? I also like the fact that for as much optimism as there always is in the offseason around here, Rhule always does stress. He's like, we're 5-7 until we're not 5-7, basically. That's what you are until you kick it off against UTEP. And I do think that mindset is still prevalent over there. So for whatever rosy thoughts you get or observations, I do think that that's in their heads, like, we're working to get those 3 or 4 points, but until you get those, you are what you were. So I like that.
I wanted to bounce this idea off of you. So you mentioned Mazzucca, and then Stephon Thompson, another transfer who I don't think he falls into the same category as Mazzucca specifically on kind of how it's been, but you know, Rule mentioned him yesterday and kind of said, well, he came, and we got to realize that there's a standard here, and you got to kind of be up to it. Like, I don't know how you take that stuff, and maybe this is just an ultimate spin zone thing, but, like, I really like to hear stuff like that, because if guys are coming in as transfers right away and they're the ones who are setting the standard and setting the tone and they're standing out right away, like, I don't think that's a good thing for the overall health of the team. So I think that points to those two transitions being tough, honestly, points to a kind of healthy program. Am I reading too much into that?
No, I don't think so. I thought Rule explained it really well. If there was like a prospective guy in the portal in future years looking at Nebraska, and he looked at Rule's answer there, and basically him saying, look, we've got intel on some of you veteran guys from the NFL people on what the marks against you are. Like, these are the negatives they have on down in that column against you. And we're going to work like heck if it's like 6 months or a year and a half or whatever we've got with you to erase those questions when the scouts come in, when it's like your pro day and the combine and all that stuff. And so with that, there's got to be real talk. There's got to be some tough love where it's like, no, this isn't going to fly. That's not going to be good enough for when you're trying to, be a Philadelphia Eagle or whatever. You know, it's just not going to work. Like, you got to be in better shape than, like, Stephon Thompson showed up, as Rule said. So I think he's pretty transparent with those guys about, you know, this is what it's going to take. I know what it takes to get to that level, and we're going to push you hard. And there's more we can get out of you. And I have to think that might be appealing even to some guys in the future who's like, that's what I need in this last year before I'm trying to make the leap to the next level. So I also think coaches don't talk like that about guys that don't matter. You know, like if it's a player who's probably going to matter in the fall, sometimes you get those tough words because they are – really trying to push them because they know that they're important to the team. And I think Micah Mazzucca is still going to be that. When Rule said that in January, I didn't necessarily walk away thinking like, oh, he's not going to make it here or anything like that. I thought, well, here's the gauntlet. It's been thrown down. Let's see how he responds. And it sounds like he's been doing better, and hopefully Stephon Thompson now takes a turn there too, because I do think they're going to need to get something out of him at that linebacker spot.
Hey, BC, kind of along the lines of that question and answer, but also what you said at the beginning about, like, the look of the team and everything. You throw that into a bucket. Obviously, Dylan Raiola, I've read some of the observations or the fan reaction to that, and you know, it's fairly obvious that there is a ton of excitement. You know, whether that turns into true hype or raw hype, you know, will remain to be seen. But I wonder how you think Rule is going to deal with that, this, whether it's this spring or just the entire offseason 5 months out from the first game, and how they handle, you know, those uptick in expectations and especially the Dylan Raiola of it all.
Yeah, I think you don't run from the obvious. It's out there, but you also say you still got to compete, and like the film and the practices are going to tell all. Like, you and your teammates generally know, like, who deserves to be the leading guy, if you're earning it, if you're winning respect of your peers and all that stuff. So I think that's the most important thing you stress within your locker room. It's not about whatever outside noise there is. It's like, are you making the person that's to the left and right of you believe that you're the type of guy they can win with, and the type of guy who does it the way it's supposed to be done, and they want to follow you? So I have to think, both him and like Danny Kalen, in their minds, no matter what hype has come, they want to prove right now to guys who are some of them are like 4 or 5 years older than them. Like, you know, I know there's a lot written about me, but I got to do it in front of this audience and make these guys think, I'm a person, you know, that you want to follow, you want to play with, you can trust and all that. So I think as long as you can keep kind of making that the focus within your walls, you can largely avoid, all the other stuff, because there's not going to be any more commotion about Dylan Raiola, frankly, than there's already been. Like, I mean, we've seen like that hype balloon go about as high in the sky as it was like that week in December, you know, when it was like a national story if he was going to flip or not. So, I mean, in a way, there's kind of an advantage to that because I do feel like, yeah, it's going to get intense when those first couple of games go, and if he throws a pick in the second quarter, you'll hear stuff about it. But, you know, whatever. I think he's, at this point, got to be pretty used to, like, yeah, he's just one of those players that's always going to be talked about, whatever he does.
Do you think we were sort of discussing this idea yesterday, but I've had this long-running theory about Nebraska quarterbacks and how they either to take a line from Batman, they either die the hero or they live long enough to see themselves become the villain. And that's basically what it's been for every Nebraska quarterback that I could think of, I guess, post-Crouch. And that's probably how it works at a lot of places as well. Like, do you think he'll follow this where you mentioned it? He will throw an interception in his Nebraska career at some point. Do you think there'll be like the same level of annoyance from Nebraska fans who were like, man, I don't know. We gotta, you know, start,
Harburg.
Yeah, we gotta go to the next guy. Like, how do you think that that roller coaster ride will be once we're actually on it?
I'm not sure. I hope most people have some patience with it. And understand that there are going to be growing pains this season if he's the guy, and just that he's going to have to learn some lessons on the field. It's a different game at the college level, and hopefully, I do think it's going to help that he's got a coach in Glenn Thomas who has been through it several times on that ride with freshman quarterbacks. Maybe not with as much hype, but he's been with guys that have been thrown into tough roles before. And he, I think, has had a lot of success with them. I mean, he just has. If you look at Charlie Brewer and the kid he had at UNLV and stuff like that. So that's got to be useful to Ryla. And I think, you know, Matt Rule's a guy who is probably a good coach to have in this situation in alleviating some of that pressure because he can kind of talk through it to the media and the fans and stuff like that in such a way that always seems to calm nerves around here or has so far. So I think that'll be useful. But I know what you're saying. There will be that moment when for some it's going to flip a little bit and there'll be the tough critic to say, okay, this guy wasn't what we told he was. You know, like the first time a guy makes a mistake, there's always some people who are going to be like that. And that just goes with the position. You just got to have that thick skin and know, like, once you are the starting quarterback at Nebraska, you are one of the top five most recognizable names in the state. You're talked about at dinner and all that stuff. And that's what you're signed up for, just go after it. I mean, again, I think Ryle's experience as being such a high-profile recruit and having people trying to interview him since he was 15 years old and all that stuff, I think that can be of use here because he's been through all this in a way in one chapter, and now it's just a different chapter with maybe a little bit some different items attached to it, but there is some similarities where he'll know what it's like to be under that microscope.
Hey, BC, turn into hoops. Surprised at all by the names that have entered the portal so far? Or any of the names in particular?
Not greatly surprised. I'm not surprised Wilcher went in, but on Friday, last Friday when they lost in the locker room, he gave a quote or two, which if you just took it for what it was, you kind of thought, oh, maybe he's going to run it back. And it... So maybe on that one slightly, but not overly. Eli Rice, I know, did catch some off guard. I had heard some rumblings about it, so personally it didn't stun me. I guess I'll put it this way. I don't think the people of Matter over there have been shocked yet by anything that's happened. And so I think things are okay right now. I mean, obviously the big ones are Bryce, Jawan, and Rink. You know, like, those are the guys, like, if you keep those three intact and filled around them, you've got something going. I mean, it's just the way college basketball is now. You see what's happening up, like, at Wisconsin, and you see A.J. Storr pop into the portal, and, you know, some of these players that had great success at where they were, you just got to kind of get used to it and be able to adapt. And I think you heard in Fred Hoiberg, like, even last Friday right after the game, it's like, portal's open, let's go. I mean, that's basically how he was. So, I mean, I think they were doing their homework and they were ready and they've got some things cooking. So we'll see what they can get out of the oven. But I don't think so far anything that has happened has taken them, like, knocked them back against the ropes or anything yet.
Brian Christofferson of Husker 24/7. BC, thanks as always for the time, my friend. Talk to you later.
All right, have fun, guys.
Brian Christopherson.
Thanks, BC.
Husker 247.
Mm.
Cooking, getting stuff out of the oven.
I love that.
And seeing how the cake looks.
Our camera has frozen.
You're good again. You're good again.
Oh, it's back? Oh, there it is.
We back. We back.
Okay.
We back. We back.
It's good.
I thought you guys were doing like a, I'm sorry, it's come up again, that thing from Speed where you just give us a little bit of movement and loop it so you guys could go run away and play.
Wildcat.
Yeah, this is all actually recorded.
He can see you.
When you said that thing for Speed, I thought you meant a bomb on a bus.
Dion says, so when does half the 1620 guys get done with the vacation? Must be nice making big bucks.
This is not vacation. And
we're working,
we do not
Dion.
Have big bucks.
What are big bucks?
Yeah, we are literally
Nick
working.
Had to eat rice last night.
I literally ate rice.
Amazing.
Last night.
Expensive rice.
By the way, shout out. Oh, is Aaron over here? No, Aaron is gone. Shout out to Aaron. He recommended the brisket fried rice, and then we got to the restaurant, and the guy there recommended the brisket fried rice and another fried rice dish.
Yes.
We went with the brisket. It was great.
It was an off-menu fried
rice. He said, everybody
dish.
Gets this. This is the best thing
everybody
we
gets this. Everybody gets
you
this.
You will get this. You will get this.
And we did.
And we got this.
Yes. Oh, it was good.
And we I had go a couple Sapporos.
Oh, those were good. That was my first time having Sapporo.
Very good.
Really good. We should go back and get some lamb pups.
That's a reminder. It's a one beer Friday on the Grum today.
Ooh.
Which is why I got my Cross Strain shirt on today, which is a local craft beer in Omaha.
Do you think they serve fairy nectar at the bar?
We should go ask.
Do you guys have fairy
nectar? Can I get a fairy nectar?
Yeah, don't ask.
Do you guys
just
remember when it was called
it.
The double dry hopped London IPA? Do you remember that iteration of it?
If you go anywhere in Vegas and ask a random person for fairy nectar, they'll probably be like, I don't sell that.
They say, we have something for you.
Go to Fremont Street if you want the fairy nectar. It's over there on Fremont Street.
Josh Odson has the odd news.
Ooh.
On the other side on 1620 The Zone.